Lights. Camera. Action. And where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Oh, get out of mine, there you go.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville Show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And Deep Thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide. But we are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course, Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Welcome, folks, to episode number 241 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, the mullet himself, here at Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. We're, of course, the Fandom Podcast Network. Every Tuesday, where you get to check out all that is great in action film, cinema, and much more. And tonight, we're going to be looking at a 1998 film, which I often watch at least once a year because it's certainly one of the better action movies from the States when it comes to not just violence and action and stuff like that, but also using vehicles. You know, I'm a huge fan of vehicular action, going right back to, of course, Mad Max and many other films in Australia in particular. Yeah, we had a lot of 1970s action movies all dealing with, of course, you know, the roads, the outback, and of course, you know, characters like, of course, Max himself, Mad Max, the character, which is kind of like a, you know, Western allegory in the Australian outback, of course. But the horses they were using were, of course, hotted up V8 supercars from the 1970s. In this episode, we'll look at Patrick Swayze a little bit. We'll look at, obviously, his action films that he did, and course, the big thing here talking about this film, which is a little bit different, there's a number of great Patrick Swayze action films which came out in the wake of Roadhouse and movies like Red Dawn. Great films by themselves, but also Steel Dawn, which we've covered here on the podcast before, which is kind of his post-apocalyptic Mad Max-style ninja movie, if you like. It's got some great characters like Anthony Zerb in there, of course, from The Omega Man, and, of course, Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions, and, of course, Star Trek Insurrection. Great actor. Just turns up in some of the Bond pictures as well as a villain. And, of course, we've also got the main henchman in that is also from Doctor Who, a British actor who was also in the episode where I do believe it was that they filmed part of it, but they didn't quite finish it due to writer strikes or something like that. And we've covered that actually here and on, of course, a show with Dan Hadley of Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast. Great pal of ours over there, and of course, in the UK, who's on the channel as well. So a big shout out to our dear pal. And one day we'll get around to knocking out another episode, of course, of our Hitchhiker show. I can't wait to get back and stuck into it. And hopefully, him being the slowest reader in the world, hopefully he's actually finished the second book by now, so that we can actually talk about the restaurant at the end of the universe a little bit more, and, of course, where things are going for that crowd. If you're following us, you can catch us on, of course, fpnet.popping.com. You can actually catch us on all socials at The Lethal Mullet, where we have lots of interesting stuff when it comes to martial arts and action films, and, of course, many of the ones that I'm watching on streaming channels now. And there's one thing we're going to be doing this year that's a little bit different. Because you, the listener out there, of course, are checking out, of course, a lot of these great channels. We're going to update on this podcast before we get into the main event every week on the latest and greatest when it comes to not just Netflix, but we'll look at things like, of course, Amazon Prime, some of the others as well, but also look at Tubi channel and what they're unlocking on that format too, because I do believe you're not going to find the great action movies that we're talking about on those other formats. So definitely stick around for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, looking at some of the older ones, which you may not have seen, but we've talked about a number of times here, you're going to find there as well. Next week, we're going to be looking at Fled, which is a film with, of course, Stephen Baldwin, of course, Lawrence Fishburne as well. And it is a great flick, folks. It is one that's definitely a prison escape film or escape film, if you like. And the great thing about it was, you know, particularly in the time that it came out, the advertising was that these two guys are handcuffed together and they've got to get through, you know, so many little escapades before they can get free. It also stars, of course, Salma Hayek and another actor, which we'll talk about very soon. Of course, it was in the Zorro films with Antonio Banderas and, of course, Anthony Hopkins, which we'll talk about when we get to that one. But Fled's one of my favorite ones from 96. A lot of great movies there, but that was, you know, of the sort of above the A-grade budget films at the time, that was one that was hot at the cinemas, and it was really, really good, of course, on VHS. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, it's always great with Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, more Morpheus, why not? And, of course, he was in one of my favorite, you know, science fiction films from the UK, which is, of course, Event Horizon. And, of course, those that play, like me, Games Workshop products like, of course, Warhammer 40,000 and, of course, the Horus Heresy, things like that, we'll know that it's pretty much the unofficial, particularly in the designs and the way it was made, the unofficial Warhammer film, live-action film, particularly when we get to see people go into the warp. And, of course, in that universe, the warp is how people travel through deep space in short times. And, of course, anyone that knows that anything about that, they've got the four chaos gods in there that of course play on your emotions, play on, of course, you as a human or a living creature, and can taint you and you become chaos. And of course they did in that film, where we get to see, you know, a little bit of the horror that was induced in that that area too. All that and more, folks, as we look at, of course, the great work of Fled.
Mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been real busy, you know. Oh, wow.
Right, I'm
yeah.
like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage. And, enjoy the show, you know, filmers and all that sort of stuff. You know?
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
Now, as promised, we're going to be talking about some of the different formats you can find film in, and we're definitely going to be doing reviews on some of the newer straight-to-streaming different movies that you can see at a local place. Obviously, that's a format. A lot of our fallen action stars are obviously, the new ones too, Scott Adkins, Mark Dacascos, and a lot of the crowd, even Olivia Guinea, putting out material straight to these sort of formats. And one of the best channels out there is TubiTV.com. It's TubiTV.com. Now, if you haven't checked this out yet, this is well worth checking out. One of the big movies they've currently got on is actually a Chinese one by the name of The 800. And having watched the trailer, it's something that I definitely want to watch and check out. It's based on a true story, and this is the war. This war epic follows the story of 800 Chinese soldiers who took on the Imperial Japanese Army in 1937. And it's directed by Hu Guan, and it looks epic. I mean, again, it's one of the ones that's, you know, again, coming from China, they're putting a lot more money into film. I think it's well worth checking out. Just what they're doing. Just huge. I mean, they've been doing this with Jet Li for many years, and obviously Donnie Yen's doing a lot of mainland Chinese films, not just the Hong Kong ones, and they're just beautiful, folks. The amount of work that they're putting into this, you know, not just from a story perspective, you know, it's very much within the mythology of it's particularly the fantastical films and a lot of the sword films that they've got there, but there's even more so when it comes down to it from here too. But war epics like this one look fantastic, and I will be giving a review of this after I've watched it. But again, this is a free channel, folks. You can check this out, download it yourself at any time. Some of the other ones you might see in here are Company K, which is an older film. There's also D-Day, which has got Chuck Liddell in it and Randy Couture in different roles as well. So that's, again, a straight to streaming one in here. In 2019. It's interesting to see Chuck getting into film. I knew he was in a few movies, but to see him in these is pretty interesting, to say the least. There's also a movie called The Gardener. Now, this is one that's been around for a little while, 2021 it came out, and it's one that I thought, hang on, is Charlie Bronson still alive? But it's actually not Charlie Bronson at all. And when you actually check it out and see, you know, who it is, it's not what you expect. It's Robert Bronzi is the actor in it, and it's he does look spinning image of Charlie Bronson. I mean, you'd think Charlie Bronson's come back to life, although we know that he died many years ago. Gary Daniels is in this one as well, Nicola Wright, Jane Watkins, and John Calloway. And it's about an immigrant living in a quiet life as a gardener at a manor house, who has to rely on his old skills to save the family he works for from home invaders. Of course, headed by Gary Daniels. And if you know me, I'm a big fan of Gary Daniels. I think Gary's one of those martial artists who's gone through the gamut of, you know, starring in Hong Kong films when he was younger. Obviously, he's done a lot of, he did Don Dragon Wilson films at one stage there. I think he was in one of the Ring of Fire films, number two, I think. Right through to, obviously, he was in City Hunter in the, you know, that's famous for having, obviously, one of my teachers, Richard Norton, in it as well. And it was also great about the actual thing with, you know, particularly having Richard Norton in such a comedic film with Jackie Chan is, on top of that, we've also got, you know, the great work of Gary Daniels in a Street Fighter 2 scene in this arcade. Because it is very anime, it's very bizarre, and I've always had huge respect since then. There's another one called Red Man, which looks very interesting. It's one I've been meaning to check out. It looks like it's from Norway or vice versa. It's a set during a time of epic battles and bloodshed. The legend of pagan warrior King Red Man is born, but so is a new weapon against his people, Christianity. So this looks really good. It's it definitely has that sort of Viking feel, and Jonathan Banks is in this one. Now, if you don't know Jonathan Banks, we've talked about Jonathan
a number of times. So he goes right back to Wise Guy. He plays obviously with the senior cops in that. And he's been in everything. He's been in, well, folks, right up to The Expanse. He was one of the captains or the XO on the ship in that one. Great actor. And Under Siege 2, many others. And, yeah, so Free Jack, obviously, too. Mr. McCandless is here to see you. All that sort of stuff. It looks great. Again, many different ones that you probably found also on the likes of, obviously, you could see them in, well, obviously, Netflix has had a lot of these before, but when they get into the stage where they're a couple of years old and the Netflix or Prime will drop them, then they'll put them into this sort of format as well. The 1800 is definitely something that's of interest. So this doesn't just do, obviously, science fiction films. It does a little bit of everything. And what I'm going to do now is just bring up some of the great martial arts that you can see on this format too. Now, again, you can find TV shows on here. Prime recommended TV obviously brings up everything from kids' shows like Yu-Gi-Oh! All the way through. You've got thrillers, action films. So there's a lot of action films here worth checking out. Things like Called to Duty, as in Called to Duty. So, again, B grades, folks. Not exactly A-grade talent. But you're going to find in here some of the classics. So Lionheart, as in, of course, yes, wrong bet. So Lionheart, the Street Fighter, they call it in this. Black Eagle as well with Sho Kasugi and, of course, Van Damme, two of my very big favorites. Fist of Fury, obviously known as a Chinese connection in the States, so a little bit different there. You can find Steven Seagal in here. Obviously, you've got Dolph Lundgren as well in this here. 2019's The Tracker, Revenge Never Stops. You've got a lot of great sequels like Titanic 2. Yes, Titanic 2. Can you believe it? Bruce Willis is The Hostage from 05. That's actually not a bad little flick, that. There's also Andromeda, which is Kevin Sorbo's Star Trek, if you like. Right through to some amazing and not so amazing films. There's also Jeepers Creepers, Shadow Gallow Walkers with, of course, Wesley Snipes. And then there's a lot of original content as well. So well worth checking out, folks. Tubi is one that I frequent, and particularly for some of the great martial arts films that we just don't see anymore. And if it's streaming, I could put it straight up on, the screen itself, the big screen, which we've got set up in the movie room. So Tubi gets a regular hit, I can tell you, here, Quinlan's Cantina.
And I've been working long, long, long days ahead, working in front of a VHS. From 1980, from the 90s to the 2000s, there's some damn good films. From Arnold to Sly to Jean-Claude to Dolph, we cover all of those flicks. You have to be a man and have to have a mullet flicking out off behind your ears just to get the feel, steel between the wheel and those that are worth it. I've been working long, long, long days ahead, sitting in front of a VHS. From Arnold to Sly, Van Damme to Lundgren, you know Lethal will be covering here. Cheers, folks. Enjoy Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, folks. 1998 was an interesting year, and of course, for action films in particular, we got one action thriller, which is really, really a pumping, amazing country rock movie filled with trucks, convicts, and of course, the one thing that we all love, Patrick Swayze. This is a 1998 film directed by Kevin Hooks, and of course, starring the one man, the Swayze himself, and many others. The film itself also stars Meatloaf and Randy Travis. Of course, you know, there's a real musical feel to this too, which we'll get into, but it's not really set around, you know, the music of these two great individuals. It is more about, at the end of the day, you know, the work that they do in this film as character actors. And they did an amazing job. It was written by William Mickleberry and Dan Vining, produced by Peter Safier, Mark W. Koch, and, of course, Raffaella De Laurentiis. It also starred Charles Dutton and, of course, Stephen Tobolowsky as well, two of my favourite actors. And, of course, anyone that knows anyone, we're good friends with the Epcars, who, of course, had a great little TV show that they created themselves. And it had, of course, Stephen Tobolowsky in it, and he's obviously a dear friend to them as well. The cinematography was by Buzz Fitzsimmons, the fourth, and we've also got music by George S. Clinton. I wonder if the music is, you know, a real 80s feel and 90s feel, because the work of George, of course, went all the way through that time. Amazing. Actually, the BBC were behind the production in this one too, Mutual Film Company, Tilly Muncher, and of course, Meribani Corporation. It's distributed by Universal Pictures and came out May 1, 1998. So this was for Australia a winter movie, you know, and definitely one that was, I think, an interesting pick for, you know, a time when, you know, I think particularly for Patrick was really at his height here, and, you know, he'd done a number of great action movies, Point Break being one of them as well, you know. Next of Kin, which is actually one of my favorites. It's, that's, again, something akin to this movie, kind of, and we'll definitely cover in the future. So it's got some great talent in that one too. Bill Clinton. How's he going to be in a movie of that? Take that back, folks. That was Bill Paxton and, of course, Liam Neeson in that one as well. And, you know, some great talent, which we'll talk about when we get to that one. You can find that on Blu-ray just about everywhere. This one, a little bit harder to find on Blu-ray, but it is out there. So the film starts out with FBI and ATF agents that are on a hot pursuit. And this is them going to basically find illegal guns that are being kept in a truck as part of this huge operation where legal weapons are being sold all over the place. From here, the driver dies. And, of course, this leads to a tiff between, of course, the two organizations. And, of course, those two don't trust each other. And, of course, this is one of the driving themes behind the police side of this story. Jack Cruz, played by Patrick Swayze, is a truck driver who's just been released from jail because he's been involved in vehicular manslaughter. And that was because he accidentally hit and killed a motorist and a passenger on the side of the road during a trip where he had what he called a hallucination, and what they described in the film as a black dog. And this is comes from being an exhausted driver and one that, you know, you start to see things when you're tired, you know, not as alert out there too. So he'd been in prison for a long time, and from there he lost his commercial truck driver's license. Following release from jail, he attempts to go back to just a normal life and, you know, just get away from all the sort of stuff he'd been doing before. So he works as a mechanic at a truck store and a local repair place in NJ in New Jersey. And from here, he's unable to drive himself anywhere. And then this is where his manager comes up to, played by Graham Beckel. And his manager, Frank, says, look, we'll offer you a job driving this huge amount of toilets that are in the back of this truck all the way from Atlanta to New Jersey. We'll pay you $10,000 cash. And Jack, you know, he declines the offer, but when he finds out that his house will be repossessed soon if he doesn't pay down, obviously, the mortgage and what's left of the debt, he decides, no, I'm going to have to do it. So from here, he goes down to Atlanta to meet up with Red, who runs the trucking yard, played by, of course, Meatloaf. He gives Jack a brand new truck to haul. And the truck is actually a pretty damn gorgeous truck for the time, for the 90s. And but Jack then says, no, look, I want the Peterbilt 379. And, of course, this is an older one, which, you know, doesn't quite look as good. But this way, you know, he's not going to be, you know, pulled aside with, of course, drawing attention to himself, that sort of thing. From here, of course, he takes a trip with Earl, which is Randy Travis, who's, of course, riding shotgun alongside him, protection. And of course, on the side of that too, they have Wes and Sonny, who are in a Chevrolet Camaro. This is very much like the Bandit, folks, you know, from, of course, Smokey and the Bandit. And, of course, we've got that sort of feel in this as well. And from here, this is where they start to get a sense of what they're going to have to do and go through. During the trip, though, Jack finds out in the back of the truck by going through some of the toilets and stuff that are being held there that, of course, there is over $3 million worth of illegal weapons in there. And, of course, from here, they also find out that young Wes that's in the other car has been informing Red of their whereabouts and where they're going. And they also discover that Sonny is an FBI agent when he's killed by Red, and this is when they're trying to do a hijack attempt on him. So the FBI's been tracking their whereabouts on the top of this, and then Jack then reveals to Earl that Wes, that he lost his license due to seeing the black dog. And, of course, the hallucinations and tiredness of what they're going through. And this is where you start to get to see a bit of a friendship between Earl and of course, Jack, which is great because I think Randy and Patrick in particular, they play off really well against each other. It's a natural sort of at first one's better than the other sort of thing. They're really feeling out who has got the, you know, the better truck driving skills, but also who's, you know, the top dog, if you like. But there's a respect there that's earned pretty damn quickly in the film. And they really start to trust each other. So things get really bad when, of course, Cutler that takes Jack's wife, Melanie, and of course, her daughter, Tracy, and takes them hostage. And this is to make sure that, of course, they complete the job and finish the entire trip. From here, of course, there's a number of hijack attempts by Red and his cronies. And, of course, this is where a lot of the action takes place. And we've got chases down a mountain with two, trucks, which I don't know how they got that done, but they did. Everything's in camera in this, folks. They look fantastic. That's the great thing about this film. It really delivers some of the best chases I've seen in years. And, you know, as much as I like the work they did on, of course, the Mad Max films, this, you know, as far as what they did in a more real-world situation, I mean, they're doing this on real worlds, not real roads, I should say, are not the kind of ones we're talking about, which are the post-apocalyptic sort of ones that you're used to, where Mel Gibson was, you know. It's not the same. Of course, they go through the truck and find a tracking device on the truck. And so from here, they realize that it was put on the wrong one when they start to hijack it. From here, Jack calls, of course, Charles Dutton's character, Agent Alan Ford, who's obviously chasing them, and does it on Wells' cell phone, telling him his plans to meet at, of course, a huge dock in New Jersey, where he'll be meeting with, of course, Cutler. And in exchange, he gave, of course, the guns for, of course, his family. The meeting goes down. Of course, the FBI turns around, and then, of course, this massive shootout happens between, of course, Cutler and, of course, the police. Jack's able to then, of course, catch Cutler before he can escape and turns him over to the FBI. And, of course, from here, FBI are sort of good to their word, where they give him, of course, his license back. And, of course, they won't tell you the rest of the other ending because, you know, it's one of those movies that's got multiple endings, folks. You'll just have to watch it. All right, let's talk about it, folks. Patrick Swayze as Jack Cruise. We'll get into his life in a sec. Obviously, hot off the heels of movies like Roadhouse and Point Break and all those others we've talked about. You know, he's an action guy by this stage, but, you know, Ghost has, you know, just been passed as well. So he's had a lot of work, City of Joy and others as well. You know, it's a good time to be Patrick Swayze in this movie's era. Randy Travis, famous, of course, singer. And he's really good in this. I think of the stuff that I've seen him in, and I'm not a fan of his music per se, I think he's pretty damn good. I'd like to see some of the other movies he's done. I think he's got a natural charisma. Meatloaf, great as always. Obviously, he's done quite a bit of acting as well as singing. He's a great singer. But he was in, of course, Fight Club and many other films, you know, and he's played a bad guy a few times. Actually, I think he was in, 51st State or whatever it was with Samuel L. Jackson. So he's been in a few where he's played the bad guy. Gabriel Cassius as Sonny Boxer. Not too bad in this. We've got Brian Vincent as Wes. Those two are together a lot more and quite good in it as well. We've got Graham Beckel as Frank Cutler. Seen him in a few things. Brenda Strong as, of course, Melanie Cruz. Rusty DeWeese as Junior. Kevin Nash. I do believe that's Kevin Nash, the wrestler, folks. Kevin Nash as Norman. Obviously, you'll know Kevin Nash from WWE, Kevin Scott Nash, and, of course, he started out as a name as Diesel, believe it or not. And come up with, of course, in the time, of course, of Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Scott Hall, and many, many others. And, of course, he was part of the NWO. Yes, that time, that of course, it was with Hulk Hogan and many others at the time as well. He's also in the Punisher film with Tom Jane. We've got Cyril O'Reilly as Vince, Aaron Broderick as Tracy Cruz, Charles Dutton. Oh, yes, Charles Dutton. What an actor. As FBI agent Alan Ford. Now, Charles Dutton, I'd known him for years of different things he'd been in. Obviously, some of the bigger ones were Time to Kill, Alien 3. He's obviously in a number of those films where it's, you kind of blink and you miss it. But, of course, Surviving the Game is another great one that he was in as well, and The Piano Lesson. And, of course, he was also in Rudy as well, Menace to Society. And he's done quite a lot of stuff that people will probably forget. He was also Leroy Brown in Crocodile Dundee 2, which you might remember as well. He's also in The Distinguished Gentleman. He's also in Nick of Time, Mimic, Detox, Gothica. Of course, the list goes on. He's also in Legion in 2010 as well. Yeah, great actor. And, of course, Bishop from Alien 3 would have been the bigger character, I guess, coming back with, of course, Ripley. And, of course, that's Lance Henriksen's role, which is very small in it, because he's only in a little bit here and there. But Charles Dutton, he shines because the character's played so damn well. And it's an interesting character, nonetheless. All right, so this was a movie that was originally intended to be with a different actor in the lead. That is, of course, Kevin Sorbo from Hercules. Isn't that interesting? They even announced that Sorbo would be in the movie Black Dog and for around $3 million with Kevin Hook to direct and intention to shoot during the hiatus of Hercules' first season. This is when, of course, in September that year, Meatloaf and Randy Travis were signed to star opposite him as well. But by November, they reported that Patrick Swayze had signed on. So I guess that must have been a mess-up with lineups. I'm sure at the end of the day, Kevin Sorbo would have definitely liked to have been in this film. I mean, it would have been huge for that actor at this time. But, he's definitely fallen on harder times now when it comes to what he's done since. Now, one of the interesting things about this movie is, for me, is, not only are they trying to, I personally think they achieve it too, put out a film which, really does smash out some of the more interesting action scenes. It's playing off really three surfaces in the actual film itself. Those being, of course, the police angle, which you've got the FBI and the ATF going against each other. And then you've also got, this... Well, really four. You've got also the characters of Red and all that also trying to hijack the load and take it for themselves. So there's different parts to this, and whether that's a successful way of looking at it too, it's an interesting sort of connotation of where things go in it as well. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think in the short time that this film is, which is under 100 minutes or so, they really deliver that and they deliver it well. All right, let's have a look at some of the trivia and, of course, location work on this. First up, of course, we talked about before, Patrick got his real truck license from, of course, the class that did, of course, CDL, which is Commercial Driver's License. So he actually earned his way when it came to this too. On January 1998, January 6th, three special effects crew were injured preparing a gas-based explosion in downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Two of the crew were, of course, hospitalized, and this was due to the serious injuries they took, and the third was treated and released. This was due to, of course, bad safety measures that were against the regulations of the industry, and, of course, the explosion was premature. Battery used to trigger the explosion was stored inside a truck engine compartment rather than the open. Battery is not disconnected when a cable touched the electrical contacts and then causing detonation. And they'll fine $16,000 for it as well, which is really, really bad. That's horrible to sort of hear that go through, isn't it? You know, these great action, movies are fantastic, but you've really got to think about the fact that, you know, the stunt people really do put their lives on the line. So huge salute to those out there that do. And obviously sometimes mistakes will happen. This is one of those. The truck, as we mentioned, it was a Peterbilt 379. The bridge where the FBI pull a truck over is the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, one of the few center span drawbridges left in the States. The bridge opens by the epic entire center section being lifted straight up in the air between the two towers. So just huge. And we have a few here more too as well. The FBI headquarters shown in the film is actually the Georgia Pacific Building in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. The last film of stunt driver Cary Lofton, who had a huge career as a stuntman as well. He passed away after the film had been produced. According to Vic Armstrong, the stunt crew, including second unit director and stunt coordinator Gary Himes, were both fired from the film by the producers. They then called in Vic Armstrong to film the truck chase and finish the stunt scenes. Parts of the stunt crew who remained on the set were rehired by Armstrong. This explains why there are two stunt coordinators, assistant coordinators, and, of course, second unit directors on the movie. Gabriel Cassius, who's played plays Sonny, and Gabriel Beckel, a Cutler, also starred in the movie Fallen, both released the same year in 98. Neither actor shared any time together on screen. Beckel's actually uncredited in that film. When Jack talks to his wife, he mentions moving out to Newark. However, when you look at the cars and trucks, there are no front license plates where there should be. Patrick Swayze actually turned down Con Air in order to do this movie. Ooh, I can't actually imagine him doing Con Air, and I can't imagine Con Air without Nick Cage, because why don't they put the bunny back in the box? Now, the film itself was shot in Charlotte, North Carolina, Georgia, USA, and a number of studios in and around there, which we're going to talk about now too, which I do wonder whether Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel knows any of these places because he used to live there. The Screen Gems Studio on 23rd Street, Wilmington, North Carolina, was one used. Georgia Department of Transport Way Station, Interstate 20, Lithia Springs, Georgia, was also used. And Cleveland, Georgia, USA, they're also filming in. A few of the others were, of course, Madison, Georgia, USA, NC State's Port Authority, Wilmington, North Carolina, USA, Atlanta Stage Works, Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Yeah, there is some great locations in the USA. Wow. Wow. And, of course, Kevin, I do wonder whether you've actually seen that sort of area before. Have you seen those? I'm sure you've seen it in the movie, but have you seen those before? We do not know. That's why we're asking you now. Oh, mate, I tell you what, folks, this is one great chase film. And if you haven't had a chance to really, sit down and watch this, this is one of those ones you want to watch on the biggest TV cinema screen. You've got a projector, chuck it on, because it really does knock it out of the park. Patrick Swayze at his peak. Is it his best movie? I think second to Next of Kin. Next of Kin's probably your favorite one he ever did. But this is getting pretty damn close. This is a 4 out of 5 here on the Lethal Mullet podcast, of course, on the Hallenbach scale.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. the True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe, Union Federation, our Star Trek, and the Orville Show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.